Hey, and welcome to the Healthy Fit Life podcast. I'm your host, Paul Hanton. Today, we'll be talking to Michelle Zellner, who is a health and happiness strategist. She is also the founder and owner of Better Beings, a wellness business established in 1997, designed to guide people in pursuit of health and happiness. She is also an author, keynote speaker, corporate wellness trainer, and lifestyle coach. So today, we'll be discussing how not to let your attitude and mindset hold you back from improving your health. If you're a fan of the show, please do remember to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and to leave a review if you enjoyed listening. So let's get started. So Michelle, thank you for hopping on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on today, Paul.
Yeah, great. So how about we start off with having you just tell about your background and fitness and the health industry?
So fitness has been part of my life pretty much since I can remember. I was a gymnast, competitive growing up. But my mom will tell you that I was doing cartwheels and somersaults like in the womb. So I think it's just been ingrained in me and started gymnastics around the age of 7 and officially hung up the grips my senior year of high school when I was 17. So it's definitely been a big part of my life that shaped a lot of it, good, bad, ugly, all of it.
Right.
But even after I stopped competing and stopped organized sports, I never stopped moving my body. I didn't always have a healthy relationship with exercise. A lot of times I used exercise to, let's just say, take care of some really horrible choices, mainly food choices. So even though it was a part of my life forever, I think I didn't really come to a healthy relationship with exercise until I adjusted my mindset on everything.
Awesome. Yeah, and that's a really good segue into the topic that we're going to be discussing today is attitude and mindset, which I think are very powerful. And I'm glad we got it. We're going to get a chance to talk through these things. So you mentioned that you adjusted your mindset. So what exactly did you have to adjust when it came to your mindset?
Wow. I mean, where do I start? Yeah. Pretty much everything. You know, one thing that really helped me embrace and go on this journey was actually getting a greater appreciation of how we as humans are designed. So We're designed to be negative. We're designed to hold on to fear, to assume the worst, to be judgmental, to be critical, to worry. All of that is rooted in our survival mechanism, which is why it's something that we all do and something that's really hard to shift out of. Mm-hmm. But I think until I really understood that, I just assumed that this is just the way I was. Mm-hmm. And you know, to think that you can change your mind, I mean, how can I do that? This is just who I am. I can't help it. And yet, no, you can change your mind. And honestly, until you change your mind, nothing else is really going to change. So, you know, when I look back at my gymnastics career, I loved gymnastics. But there were things that I didn't think were fair, like my friend who was super talented and literally could show up once a week and go win everything versus me who worked 10 times as hard to be half as good and then didn't compete well and won nothing. Yeah. Well, that wasn't fair.
Right.
Right. And then when you start to have those beliefs, well, of course, your attitude impacts your outcome. And then It's just kind of, you know, that snowball effect.
Right.
So working through all of that, and honestly, I probably didn't really work through it until I was in my early to mid 20s. And just looking at how that attitude and mindset played out in all areas of my life was something that I took a deeper look at, because after I hung up my grips, I kind of went on what I call my middle finger to the world tour. Like, I can do whatever I want.
Right.
And for me, that meant I can eat whatever I want because I no longer have to get in a leotard or on a scale or worry about flipping my body and landing on my head. So I went about eating whatever I wanted. And it resulted in, as you can probably imagine, a not very pretty outcome.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go to college, you're supposed to be living your best life. And I wasn't, because how can you when you're not your best self? Mm-hmm. And you turn to maybe some other unhealthy behaviors or destructive behaviors that aren't helping you. And at some point I decided, okay, if I want a different outcome, I'm going to have to do different things. Mm-hmm. And I probably need to start understanding why I'm actually doing what I'm doing. And all of it really sent me back to my own internal dialogue, my beliefs, my stories, the attitude. It all started there. And then it's going down that road of really deciding if you're going to do some deep, hard work on adjusting and changing that. And mm-hmm. it really is a different path for everybody, because our attitudes and our mindsets, our beliefs, our stories, they all are shaped in different ways at different times for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And all of those factors are going to play a role in how you then go about rewriting your script and what you have to go back and adjust and address, maybe forgive, maybe heal, maybe accept. I mean, there's so much to the journey, and everybody's is a little bit different. But what is not different is if you don't go on it, you're never going to get the outcomes that you want.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, is that a lot of people are maybe afraid to start, or they're stuck and they just don't know where to start, or they just don't start, right? And something that we talked about earlier is the hard now or hard later, right? You got to pick one. So maybe talk about that a little bit. Like when maybe in your experience and some of the clients you've worked with, so people that you know, where they're just stuck and they're just afraid of starting and they don't want to start. How do you help someone work through that to get to the point where they're like, yes, I want to start?
I mean, this is a conversation I probably have, I don't know, 5 or 10 times a day, whether it's with a one-on-one client or teaching corporate. You first have to identify your why. What is your personally meaningful reason for why you want to do something hard? Mm-hmm. Because it's going to require hard work to get you this outcome that you say. If you don't have a good reason for wanting that outcome, you're probably not going to do the hard work mm-hmm. consistently enough for a long enough time to actually see the outcome. Right. So you really want to be clear with yourself, and then you have to believe it. And then you also have to identify what is the current reality in which you're existing. Mm-hmm. What are we realistically capable of doing? What are our realistic obstacles? Mm-hmm. And then how am I going to set myself up for success based on the reality in which I currently exist, not the one I used to live in, or the one that I think I live in, or the one that I wish I lived in, but the one I actually live in? And sometimes that means doing a lot of inner work, reflecting on our own capabilities, our capacity, mm-hmm. or maybe the capabilities that we don't actually have that we thought we did, the knowledge that we are missing to really bridge the gap between knowing and doing, understanding why this thing is an obstacle for me, and then what is going to be my solution around this obstacle? Because if I don't have a solution around the obstacle, I'm never going to get around the obstacle, which means I'm never going to get where I want to go. So there are multi steps to this process, and you got to go through all the steps. I think one of the biggest challenges, especially in the world we live in today, is this idea that there's this instant result with little to no effort. Mm-hmm. Right? We want to be at the finish line the minute we start.
Right.
And I'm probably a lot older than a lot of the people that listen to your podcast. I'm a Gen Xer, just turned 50. I didn't grow up with that. I didn't grow up with social media, right? And I think social media plays a big role in this.
Absolutely. But
where I really saw a shift was in the dot-com era. And, you know, you might not even have been born during that time.
Yeah, I was pretty young.
Right. Literally, there were people who did almost nothing and they were millionaires, like instantly.
Right.
And then the internet. I mean, I didn't have the internet until college. And then I had to sign up to have some time in the computer lab.
Yeah.
Right. Well, now I can literally have an instant result with almost no effort.
Right.
Because that's what the internet does for us. Mm-hmm. So we've been kind of adapting to this belief that there is instant result with little to no effort, except that isn't the way it goes in almost every other aspect of life, and certainly not in the things that are of value. Mm-hmm. Right? If there's something that is of value, you value it because you worked for it.
Right.
You almost never value something that was just handed to you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think one thing I want to double back to when it comes to starting, which you kind of touched on a little bit, I want to dive in deeper, is that you talked about planning and preparation and doing maybe even doing some just internal work on figuring out your why. And There's also a lot of obstacles that are going to prevent people from starting, or in their minds, you can prevent them from starting. And I think sometimes people have this all or nothing mindset, which we've talked about before, of either they're all in or they're all out and there's no in between, right? And so how do you help someone work through that all or nothing mindset of, okay, everything has to be perfect, the stars have to align, and then I'm going to start, or I'm not going to do anything at all?
Yeah. I mean, I have yet to meet a human who has never been in all or nothing mindset. Mm-hmm. That is a natural space for us to be. Absolutely. And I was certainly in that for a long time as well, especially when I decided I wanted to get healthy and lose weight. Right. Yeah. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go on a diet. Now I'm going to be really, really, really good. And I'm not going to eat this. And I'm only going to eat that. And I'm going to work out really, really, really hard.
Yeah.
And none of that is sustainable. And so then I'm not seeing results and I'm exhausted. And what's the point? And then I just stop.
And that mindset is very common too. You've probably seen that
100%.
Many times.
It is the most common. And a lot of times people don't fully recognize that they're in that mode.
Right.
Right. And so it really is about the awareness that you're even in that mindset. And then it's adopting the belief that it is the cumulative effect of the things that we do day after day after day after day. Those are called habits.
Yeah.
That's what's going to lead to the outcome that you want. So one question I will always ask somebody, especially if it's, you know, that they're trying to lose weight or they are wanting to increase their fitness goals. My question is, how long do you want the result to last?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question.
Right. If you just want to lose those 10 pounds for the cruise and then after the cruise, you don't really care.
Yeah.
Great.
We can Great example.
And we can work out like a mad maniac and you'll lose the 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. And then you'll gain them all back and then some more. And then you'll probably have another cruise or a party. And now you'll have more work to do.
Right.
So at some point you might want to decide that, no, I would like the results to last, which means you're going to have to embrace the idea that you're not going to get the quick results.
Right.
That you think you should and get them to last. Like those two things almost never go together.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, you mentioned, you brought up a really great point about the results too. I think a lot of times people get focused on numbers falling off the scale or lowering on the scale, but there's so many other aspects of health that even though you may not be losing, you know, like 2 pounds a week or even a pound a week, there are other aspects of your health that you are still improving if you, you know, improve your nutrition, improve your activity level as well. But people get really hung up on the either the way they look or there's or the numbers on the scale, right?
Yeah. And unfortunately, that is a cultural, societal thing that I don't think will ever go away because it existed before me.
True.
It still exists. I still hear, you know, 20-year-olds talking about this. I'm like, really? We haven't gone past this by now? We know much. Yeah. Why are we still focusing on that? Mm-hmm. Where is this message still being perpetuated? And honestly, I was not successful in losing weight until I took the focus off of weight loss and instead focused on the behaviors I need to engage in to create weight loss.
Right, right.
And then do those behaviors in a consistent pattern as a lifestyle so that as I lost the weight, I knew it was never going to come back. Mm-hmm. And that means you have to be patient with the process, which we're not. It means you have to be dedicated to the process. Which there's the holidays. I can't.
Yeah.
The holidays come every year. So what are we going to do about that? Right. Mm-hmm. So it really does take a lot of, it takes a lot of buy-in from the person. And most people don't get there overnight. They think that they are going to be different. Mm-hmm, and I hear this all the time. it'll work for me because I'm different. Mm-hmm. You're not different. You're a human like everybody else. Mm-hmm. You might be a rare person, but there's a good chance that there's some unhealthy behaviors going on that are helping you continue to have that outcome. So let's focus on the whole being, right? Because this is one whole being, physical, mental, and emotional. I don't care what the number on the scale says. If I'm a hot mess of anxiety, number on the scale, who cares?
Right.
How
healthy
am I?
Yeah. Stress, lack of sleep.
Right. Yeah.
So I do want to talk about, so we talked about the starting, right? And that's a struggle for a lot of people just getting started. But once someone started, there's always going to be obstacles that they're going to encounter, right? And they and sometimes people have this mindset of I failed and they quit, or I failed and, you know, it's the end of the world and oh no, or the holidays, oh no, I ate too much on the holidays. So how can people get out of this mindset of failing and look at it as a learning opportunity?
Well, yet I think mindset is a choice. It just is. So you can decide that you failed and give up and beat yourself mm-hmm. up and maybe try again or maybe not. Or you can choose to say, okay, why was I not successful? Mm-hmm. What prevented me from being successful? Let me analyze that. And then let me figure out how can I do it differently next time? So if you take that opportunity to evaluate, analyze, figure out a strategy for next time, that is not called failure. That's called growth and development.
Right.
And then next time I'm going to do it differently. I think too often, especially when we go down the road of I'm going to try to eat better, I'm going to try to exercise more, I'm going to lose weight, right? We have these vague statements, but they're not goals, they're just statements. Mm-hmm. And if I don't take the time to really go through the steps of evaluating, planning, thinking through what could potentially prevent me from reaching that goal? What are the actions I need to take to reach the goal? What could prevent me from taking those actions? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I got to think of all of those things, and you're not going to know them all the first time. That's called the learning process.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's a big component. And I mean, I've been in the fitness industry for a while, you know, personally, and then, you know, and professionally as a coach, but I've learned a ton, right? And I'm constantly learning. I'm learning every time I do a podcast, I'm learning from people that I speak to. And so I think that sometimes it's for me, it's natural, right? To learn from what I'm doing, form or how to meal prep better, right? So for me, it's natural. But do you think that for some people, it's a skill, right? That they have to develop and work on over time and kind of be forgiving with themselves?
Oh, for sure. I mean, by nature, we are not forgiving, mm-hmm. right? Again, it all goes back to our survival mechanisms, and we are least forgiving of ourselves.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And yet, how is that helping you, right? To beat yourself up, to woulda, coulda, shoulda, have guilt. Mm-hmm. Is that helping? Most likely not. So then it's your choice to stay there, or it's your choice to learn, accept, grow, and move on. Another thing that I have found a lot over and over is people think they know what they need to do, except that they're wrong.
Yeah, right.
Or they know some pieces, but they don't know all the pieces. So there are gaps. So you have to be willing to accept that you might not know everything. Mm-hmm. That what you think you know might not be correct. Mm-hmm. And then be willing to hear a different perspective, take a new approach from people who have gone down the road, from people who have worked with thousands of people who have gone down the road. Mm-hmm. Not that there is one path that is correct for everybody, because it is different for everybody. It really, you know, a lot of it depends on what is your specific goal. Mm-hmm. Because one person's goal requires a certain strategy, and another person's goal is going to be a very different strategy. Right. Even though the elements of the strategies are very similar, we need to do them in different ways so mm-hmm. that we get the outcome you're looking for.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. Is, you know, when it comes to social media or the internet in general, it's just so much information out there that theoretically, someone could easily just figure out everything they needed to know. They would never need a coach, right? Because they would just get everything they needed from the internet. But to your point, everyone's going to be, it has to be individualized. Everyone has a different goal, you know, different set of needs, and they, you know, they can do different things. And so it's not as simple as plug and play. I'm just going to copy that influencer, what they're doing. It's a lot more nuanced than that.
Right. And I mean, let's face it, with social media, you never actually know what that influencer is doing.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think we've just been exposed to what's his name, right? Liver guy.
Yeah. Liver King. Like, yeah.
Right. Thank you. Liver King. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Let's face it. Most of us knew that.
Yeah. But a lot of people, you know, you'd be surprised at how many people, you know, didn't right? or,
yeah.
you know, just don't know, right? They just don't know what they don't know.
Right. Yep.
So we talked a lot about mindset, but I also want to talk about attitude. When I think about attitude, I think positive and negative attitude. So how can having an attitude perspective impact our health goals or like our weight loss goals?
Well, again, negativity is normal. That is rooted in our survival mechanism. It's safe. It's safe to be negative because it means that I'm protected, right? I don't go right. out. Nobody can eat me. Nobody right. knows I'm here, so they won't try to fight me for anything. And yet it also means I'm not exploring and growing and expanding. And if nobody's coming to eat me, well, that also means I'm not going out to find food.
Right, right.
So,
oh, you're referring back to the way back when day.
Yeah, way back when.
Right. Yeah, I got it. I'm thinking nowadays when you go out to Walmart, I got you. I got it. Yeah.
But it's the same thing, right? Yeah. All of the emotions and reactions that we have, they are somehow rooted in, for some reason, our human thinks we need to be protected from it.
Right. Right.
We might want to go back and figure out where that's coming from. Mm-hmm. But in terms of just positive or negative, you know, the thoughts that come in, they are almost always negative because that's normal. Mm-hmm. But if we let it take its on its ride, which is a negative thought generates a negative feeling or belief, mm-hmm. which creates negative energy, which leads to negative action. Well, that's the way it goes. If right. a thought comes in and I pause it, and I contemplate it and I challenge it and I think about it and I ask myself, is this true? Is it necessary? Is it helpful? Well, then I get to decide what I do with that thought. And maybe a negative thought came in and I'm like, you know, that's actually not true. Mm-hmm. Or that is hyperbole. And I should probably speak accurately, not in hyperbole, because it is going to affect my energy, which is going to affect my outcome. And so when you start to listen, I just taught a whole group today on my class, Mind Matters, The Power of Thought. Mm-hmm. And I hear over and over and over again, people say, I need to silence the inner critic. I need yeah. to get rid of negative thinking. Number one, not possible. Number mm-hmm. two, not helpful. You need to listen to the inner critic because it's telling you something. For a reason. It's your job to determine what is it telling you? And is it true? Is it accurate? Is it helpful? Is it necessary? If it's true, because sometimes our inner critic is telling us the truth about ourselves.
True, true.
Then I need to decide if I'm ready to do some work to let that no longer be true. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the inner critic is speaking in hyperbole or it's completely inaccurate. Mm-hmm. And so then I want to challenge it and start speaking differently. And the more I practice that, the more natural it becomes, the less of, you know, a center stage my inner critic takes. I can shut it down a lot more rapidly because I've been practicing to shut it down. Right. And then that changes my energy and then that changes my outcome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think an example of this, and you could let me know if I'm right or wrong, but when it comes to like a thought leading to a negative action, so someone makes a mistake, right? And say fail, but maybe not even a mistake. They just eat a lot of food on a holiday, right? Just on Thanksgiving. And then the next morning they wake up and think, well, I failed, right? I failed at my diet. You know, that's it. I'm a failure. And that thought leads them to what? Doing the same thing the next day and then the next day and then the next day. And, you know, after a month, they're like, wow, I just gained all that weight back. I'm a failure. Yeah. Is that kind of like what you were describing of that pattern of thought, negative action, and it just continues to cycle?
Yeah, it perpetuates it. And even on like a smaller level, you know, I've talked to hundreds of people who've done this, right? They had plans to work out after work.
Yeah.
And then they didn't for whatever reason, but they decide that, oh my gosh, I'm such a failure because I didn't work out. I can't believe I didn't work out.
Yeah.
Yep. Now I'm going to make myself feel better by eating some chips or ice cream because I'm a loser because I didn't work out and I said I was going to. And this is what losers do. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to wake up the next day and be like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to try to work out again. And then I didn't. And now I'm clearly a failure because I can't seem to ever do this. Mm-hmm. So eventually you then just stop trying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of going back and determining, why didn't I work out? Oh, because my 5-year-old fell off the playground bars and broke her arm and I had to take her to the emergency room. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's why you didn't work out. Or, you know, because I was driving there and I happened to steer through the drive-through Dairy Queen instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's figure that out. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it was super stressful. I was starving. And Dairy Queen was calling my name. Mm-hmm. So then let's go back and work on stress management, nourishing your body, right? These other mm-hmm. things to help you be successful.
And I think that's a fantastic example that you gave, because that happens all the time with people, right? They have the best of intentions. And in your example, I know it happens to a lot of people that work in the office. They have the best of intentions to work out after work, and it doesn't happen, right? I think something happens that interrupts that desire to go work out after work. But I think you're right. A lot of people see that as a failure, and then they're not sure what to do. And so they just kind of do what they default. Their default action is just to kind of wallow, right? And they don't really learn from that and you know, do better the next day. So I think that's a fantastic example, because that happens all the time with my clients and other people that I see.
Yeah. It's not just with working out. It's with food choices. Mm-hmm. It's with, you know, other goals we're trying to reach, financial goals, or, you know, accomplish a task. This is how it goes. And a lot of it goes back to, I have not clearly defined my priorities, my goals, and my values. Mm-hmm. And then I have not set myself up to execute my intentions that align with my goals, my priorities, and my values. Mm-hmm. So there are so many layers to figuring this all out, and everybody's kind of at a different layer, and you might have certain pieces of it already in place and other chunks totally missing. But when you decide to invest in yourself, physical investment, mental and emotional investment, time, mm-hmm. invest time in learning about yourself, you would be amazed at how actually easy it is to start connecting the dots and seeing the patterns and to put some different strategies or solutions in place that work for you in the real life that you're living today. Mm-hmm. And yet we don't take the time to do that because we're too busy. We just want a result.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I definitely encourage people to take that time on the front end to set yourself up for success and to save you time, money, energy, stress, poor choices, and what you probably will call failure on mm-hmm. the back end.
Right. Yeah, I think it's a really good point about, again, stressing the importance of preparing beforehand and doing everything you can to set yourself up for success before you get started, because that'll just lead to more success. Whereas a lot of people, I think, they start and then they quit, right, because of many different reasons. But I do see the people that have a plan beforehand are more successful than the ones that don't. Hands down. But with the main time we have left, I wanted to jump to your program and what you have going on. So I think you have something coming up here in January, correct?
Yeah, I do actually. And it's exactly all of this. It was a super big light bulb moment for me when I went down this road enough times, like, I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to set this resolution.
Yeah.
I shifted to declaring intentions because I am only in control of how I spend my resources, my time, money, and energy. And to clarify them for me means to get them out of my head and into the real world. And that is in the version of creating a vision board. And I know a lot of people are rolling their eyes right now. I go, trust me, I used to roll my eyes too. And yet it is a visual representation of what I say is important to me, mm-hmm. right? It's words, phrases, pictures of things I want to achieve, of, you know, things that I want to be reminded of, that I want to accomplish. So I became a huge fan of the vision board. I host a virtual vision board workshop every year. This 2023, it's January 21st from 10 to 2 Mountain Time. I have lots of amazing speakers come in. So it's not just me telling you how to make a vision board. It's talking about mindset, goal setting, looking at strategies around your obstacles. It's clarifying those values, those core guiding principles that are important to you. And then learning to see if you are aligning how you're spending your time, money, and energy in a way that will help you reach that. So I would love all of your listeners to come join. The link to join and register will, I'm sure, be in the show notes. Mm-hmm. It is free to attend. I encourage donations because I have a nonprofit, the Be a Better Being Foundation, which is an organization I started, and there's a grant application that will be out later in the year for anybody to apply for a grant that is going to be used to help support or enhance the well-being of young people. And so anything you contribute to participate in the virtual vision board workshop goes into the foundation to seed that grant money. So that's kind of the big event I have coming up. I have my own podcast, the Be a Better Being podcast, with a really awesome
co-host. That's right.
Wrote a couple of books. You can find those on Amazon. Mm-hmm. I have U Revolution University, which is basically your online place to go to school to learn all you need to know to be a healthy, happy human. So lots of different ways to educate yourself, to find that information and motivation to take the steps to hopefully help you be a healthy, happy human, because that's what we do. We get one shot, and hopefully we're going to do the work to make mm-hmm. it the best that we can.
Yep, that should be the goal. And yeah, I was going to bring up your podcast. Do you have a particular genre or topic on your podcast that you like to focus on?
Yeah, well, I mean, my business is called Better Beings, and mm-hmm. that is my mission, to help people be better human beings, whatever that means. So the Be a Better Being podcast literally talks about everything. A couple months ago, interviewed the members of my favorite band. They've been a band for 30 years. Awesome. I've been listening to them for 25 years. They have grown as, you know, starting this as 18-year-olds and 30 years later, and they have stayed friends in a business as a band. I mean, think of all the things that go into that, all the learning that they went through, right?
Absolutely right.
So the genre is anything that is going to help somebody figure out how to do something to help them be better. That's what the podcast is about. So it's all over the place.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, that sounds like really a wide breadth of topics. But I think, again, I think it's fantastic. You're focusing on the overall health rather than just, you know, the losing weight or, you know, getting stronger, getting muscles. I think the all encompassing health is extremely important. So that's awesome. You're focusing on that. And again, Michelle, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I definitely learned some things from you. So I wanted to thank you for coming on the show.
Well, my pleasure. It was a really great time to chat with you. Appreciate the invite.
Yep. And so that wraps up today's episode. And thank you very much for listening. And make sure to check out Michelle on the social media links in the podcast notes. If you're a fan of the show, please do remember to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and to leave a review if you enjoyed listening. Until next episode, take care of yourselves. And remember, the best project you'll ever work on is you.